Bless you. We're going to go ahead and go real quick. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your blessings, Father. Thank you that you gave us another day of life, good health and strength, Lord. And we just want to give our lives back to you, Lord, this morning. We pray, Lord, that you would have your way, Lord God, this morning, and help us to receive something that would benefit your people. Grant it, Lord Jesus, we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Being that tomorrow's Memorial Day, I wanted to speak this morning about living memorials. I know that kind of sounds like an oxymoron a little bit, because a memorial is you're remembering somebody that has passed away. But there are memorials, I believe, that of people that have gone on that are still affecting our lives today. Jesus Christ being one of them, right? He's not dead, but so we wanted to talk about that, because we want our lives to end up being a living memorial, right? That what you do or what you say or is still affecting people even though you are gone, and so we want to talk about that. What God considers worthy of remembrance, amen. And we want to turn to the scripture, or you can read here, but it's in Matthew 26, 6 through 13. And that, to me, I consider this, Jesus even considered this a living memorial. In verse 6, it says, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat." Now, there are four different instances in the scriptures where women came and anointed Jesus. Two of them on his feet, and two times on his head. This case, it was anointing on over his head. And it says here, "But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, 'To what purpose is this waste?'" So to them, it was a waste of time, or a waste of money, because that alabaster box, or and even the container that it was in, it was very, very expensive. And they say here that "for this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." It was considered, what she had poured over Jesus's head, considered 1 year's wages for the people back then. But she considered it worthy to pour that, take it, no matter how much it cost, and pour it over Jesus's head. Why? I believe there was a revelation there. Amen. She did something out spontaneous out of revelation, and she didn't see it as a waste for her. Amen. Right. "And then when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, 'Why trouble ye the woman?'" In other words, why bother her? "For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial." In other words, like as a preparing him for his burial. "Verily I say unto you," I don't know if you can see that down here or not. "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world," even in Lula, Georgia, we're talking about it right now.
Right?
Right? We're fulfilling what Jesus said right here.
Amen.
"Wherever soever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her." Amen. He wasn't saying a memorial of him or a memorial of her. Because she did something spontaneous out of revelation, and it wasn't something contrived, and it wasn't something thought about. It was as far as, if I do this, maybe I can get this out of it. No, it was something spontaneous that she did. Jesus saw that. Jesus knew that. And therefore, he considered it as what she did to be, wherever this gospel goes, this thing that she did is going to be talked about throughout the whole world. And I'm sure it has already, wherever this gospel has gone. So it was going to be a memorial of her. Amen. So what is a memorial? A memorial is something that keeps remembrance alive, such as a monument, a speech, a ceremony, or an act that commemorates. It's a token of remembrance. Not just a day to shoot fireworks and drink beer and have cookouts. Amen. But, you know, I'm not from this country. I'm originally from Colombia, South America. I have allegiance to my own country as well. However, I am a United States citizen. And I respect what the people and the man who fought for this country. Probably a lot more than what you'd think. And even though I am not from this country, I know that man fought. Whatever the reasons were for the wars or whatever it was, but they fought for a good purpose. And so it's nice to have a memorial for those men that gave their lives. So a Memorial Day is for those that gave, is for those that were in the armed forces and that gave their lives serving. While Veterans Day is we honor those that are still even yet alive. So there's the difference between the two. And so I respect those men, and I know that there's men that have gone on already that were believers, and so we just respect that. But it's a token of remembrance, and that's what a memorial is. It's something that keeps remembrance alive. So this woman, what she did, it was something that was going to keep her remembrance alive, you see? So that's what a living memorial is, amen? We can learn and we can dissect that of what she did into very minute pieces and get different lessons from there. But we don't have time right now, but you can go back and read it yourself. And so, but the main point was to remember what she did for the Lord. Amen. Praise God. And of course, Memorial Day, originally known as Decoration Day, is a federal holiday in the United States for honoring and mourning the U.S. military personnel who died while serving in the United States Armed Forces. Now, here's another memorial that the scripture talks about, and it's in Joshua chapter 4, verse 5. It says, "And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel." And this is the Lord telling this to Joshua, "That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." It's this memorial right here is commemorating the living God, amen, of what he did for them at that time and what he is going to continue doing for them and what he's continuing to do for us now, amen, because our God isn't dead. Amen. You know, our soldiers have gone on and they're not here with us anymore. But God, amen, he died, rose again, amen? Amen. And we're living serving a living God this morning. Amen. And in verse 23 of that same chapter, it says, "For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over." And this is the purpose that God had for this, that all the people of the earth, not just for the Jews, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. Not that it was. So, you know, we just look at what God did in the past. It was so great. That's wonderful. But that it is mighty. Right. What he did for them, amen, he can do for you. He can part your problem apart. Amen. Dissect the thing, amen, and you cross through, amen, on dry ground.
Amen.
Amen. It is mighty that ye, and this is the purpose, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. I don't know if you can see that or not, but that is the purpose, amen, that God allowed for the children of Israel to put these 12 stones and stack them on top of one another when they were getting ready to take the promised land, amen? And so It reminded me of Matthew 25:35, and you go back and listen to Brother Branham's message, Time-Tested Memorials. It's a short message, but it's packed, very, very powerfully packed. And this is the scripture he uses, opening scripture, Matthew 25:35. Heaven and earth shall pass away. This is Jesus speaking, but my words shall not pass away. Amen? Praise God. And so we see that at some point, heaven and earth, Peter talks about it, that heaven and earth and the elements thereof are going to melt with fervent heat. Amen. The elements of this earth will be destroyed. Amen. And God will create a new heaven and a new earth. Amen. But his word, amen, whenever you take his word and you put it into action and it becomes a revelation to you and put it into action, amen, that is something that can stand as a living memorial.
Right.
And that if affected somebody in a positive way, right, they'll always remember that. Amen. They'll always remember that. I've always said that when you give a gift to someone, amen, when you give them that gift, that and you look at that gift is not to for them to look at it and it remind them of themselves or remind them of somebody else. No. Every time I look at that gift that someone gave me, it reminds me of the giver. Right? It reminds me of the person that gave. Amen. And so That's what happens when you give. Amen. That woman that anointed Jesus. Amen. What does it remind us whenever we read about it? It reminds us of her. We don't even know her name, right? There's other instances where we know it was Mary, the Lazarus' brother. And John is given her name, and we'll read about it. We'll read about it here in a moment. But to that specific woman that anointed her head, we don't even know what her name is. We just know it was in Bethany. And yet we still remember her. And Jesus said that wherever this gospel goes, this woman told will be remembered. And so God's creative word is still standing and it's still creating. Amen. How many believe that? That when God said, let there be, amen, that's still resonating like an echo. It's still creating, I believe. Amen. It's still creating, amen, life in you and I. Amen. His word never dies. His word continues on. Praise the Lord. It's like an echo. Amen. And it has creative power even thousands of years later after it was spoken. Amen. That's why Jesus could say, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Amen. Now, we do have also negative memorials. Amen. And Brother Branham, in that message, Time-Tested Memorials, he talks about a man. He didn't remember his name. And we'll read the quote here in just a moment. But his name was Chester Bedell. And I went and did some research on this guy. And he was a hardcore atheist and he was an infidel. And he would tell you that he was. He didn't care about, he didn't believe that there was a God. He didn't believe that. And so he had a statue made of himself. This is the picture. It was taken in the early 1900s. He wanted that statue to be placed on top of his grave, and it's him standing on top of the Bible, and declaring something there on that thing he's holding up. And he died in 1908, and he is said to have said that if there is a God, let snakes run over my grave. And according to legend, or according to what some witnesses have said, and testimonies from different preachers and different people who have visited that site, and even what Brother Branham said, they said that this man's grave, it's located in a beautiful cemetery in a beautiful area, but this man's grave has snake holes all over his gravesite, and snakes constantly walking around, garter snakes and black snakes going around. So you ask what you claim, you know, that he got what. But some people have said that they had moved. They ended up having to take that area off because they needed to create a road through there or something like that. So they moved his grave up somewhere, somewhere higher, with other graves. And the builders or the constructors, they said that they didn't see any snakes. So it's conflicting testimonies. However, the thing is that this man's testimony is a negative testimony.
Right.
That's the point. Whether there were snakes in his grave or not, the point is that this man's life has a positive memorial, a negative memorial about him. But this is what Brother Branham said. One memorial that I'd like to refer to now, it's in Ohio, and there was an infidel. I forget his name. I got the picture somewhere there in my collection at home, where he was so firmly against Christianity till he wanted a memorial built to him after his death with his foot on the Bible pointing down like that and saying away with religious superstitions and up with modern science. And when he was dying, he said, if I've been wrong, serpents will crawl out of my grave. And when he died, they were still shoveling the dirt into the grave and they killed two or three big vipers. And today in that graveyard, a minister taking a picture recently and brought it to show me. And hanging over the chains around his lot, the graveyard is a beautiful place. And I saw that picture. It's online. You can look at it yourself. There's snakes hanging from like a fence. The graveyard is a beautiful place, but his mound is nothing but a snake mound. And no matter even into the fall and winter, serpents still crawl from his grave, a memorial. And Brother Branham says, God forbid me ever have a memorial like that or any of you. Eh? So this man, this is the memorial that he wanted of himself, and he got what he wanted.
Right.
Right? That statue that he made of himself, you can't see it very well right there. I faded it out. But that statue that he made of himself, people would shoot it. It's got bullet holes all over it. And it's got even a bullet hole right here in the middle of his forehead. It was getting to be so damaged because people hated that they ended up taking the statue down. And now it's, I don't know where it's located, but it's not on top of the monument anymore. But it's very badly torn. Now, compare this memorial to the memorial that woman that anointed Jesus' head had. This is the memorial that this man left. What about compared to that memorial that woman that anointed Jesus' head? So whether there was snakes or not at his graveside, the point is that the monument that he had made to be erected for his memorial after his death is shrouded with negativity, spookiness, and disrespect from the public. God help us not to have a memorial like that. Amen. Other negative memorials that we can look at in the Bible is Lot's wife. And we know that the decision that she made, she loved the world too much. She loved Sodom and Gomorrah too much. And of course, as she was trying to do what the angel was telling her to do, trying to leave, but something just made her turn back and she turned into a pillar of salt. And according to what archaeologists have uncovered, she's still standing as a pillar of salt there today. The Tower of Babel, and a project that was started by man. Amen. But the project was halted and God destroyed it. God didn't allow that to continue because it was man-made. It was man-started. It wasn't originated by God or revelation, amen, as, for example, like this woman who went and anointed Jesus' head, amen. That's something eternal, amen. But the Tower of Babel was something that was man-made. It was what man was trying to do to get to God. Amen, and not what God was trying to do in the man for him to come to closer to man. See, that's what religion is. Religion is what you do to try to get closer to God. Amen. Christianity is what God has done to try to get closer to us. Amen. Praise God. And you can look at Nebuchadnezzar's dream statue. Amen. It's represented four kingdoms that Daniel, he interpreted, but when you read it, there was a stone that came down from the top of the mountain and destroyed that thing. Amen. And that stone represented Christ. Amen. All the kingdoms of this earth, all the ideas of this earth, amen, all the scientific, the so-called discoveries of this earth will fall. They won't go anywhere. Amen. But God's word will remain. Amen. God's word is eternal. Amen. Brother Branham says in the message Super Science, he said the United States a few years ago tried to make a super ship. They made it. So they said it would never sink. It couldn't be sank. God put the Titanic in the bottom of the sea. Shows that man's achievements will never amount to anything. It's all dust and going back to the dust. That's what's in him. And then in the message, be not afraid. If it wasn't of God, it won't amount to anything. We can't say that about the woman that anointed Jesus' head.
That's right. Amen.
Because we're still talking about it here in the small town of Lula, Georgia. Wherever this gospel goes, amen, that woman's testimony is going to live and is going to be spoken of. And if it's of God, who is going to stop it? Right, now, if that seed, what is it? Every plant that my Heavenly Father hasn't planted will be rooted up. Amen. All right, and this is the Judas. Amen. In John chapter 12, it says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, the same place where he was anointed on by the woman on her head, where Lazarus was, which he had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary, which is Martha's sister, a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. It must have cost a lot because the Bible says it was very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus. So in Bethany, this other one, he was anointed on the head. Here he's anointed on the feet, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now, watch what Judas says about this. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Now, there's one of the things that we recognize and that we know about Judas, is that we don't think about him what the good things he did for the poor, or the things he even did to Jesus. Amen. We think about him as him being the son of perdition, the one who betrayed Jesus. That's his memorial, right? Why was not this ointment? This is what he said. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. There's another memorial of Judas. He was a thief. And the Bible called him a thief. And had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Amen. So Judas's actions were memorialized by having, but have negative light and no positive lessons.
Right.
We can't get anything positive from his actions here in this particular scripture, right? So that's his memorial, right? That's what he left behind. And I'm going kind of quickly because I'm trying to finish this. And so here's these acts of humility by these women. I mean, in both instances, Jesus was in Bethany. That's significant within itself, but you can study that on your own. One woman anointed the head in Matthew 26. Mary anointed the feet in John 12. Both acts were done spontaneously with revelation and anointing because they wanted to. Not because somebody told them to or forced them to, amen, but because they wanted to do it. It was something about the life of Jesus that spoke to them, that made them want to do this service for Jesus, all right? That's how we should serve the Lord. Amen. And not because you're forced to, or not because because somebody will speak against you or something like that, or because you don't want to go to hell, amen. It's because you want to do it, amen.
Right.
Because you want to serve the Lord. And it's in me. I have no other, there's nothing else I can do but to anoint his head and anoint his feet, amen, with my life, amen. And let my life be a beautiful fragrance to him. Amen. These two women's acts were accepted by Jesus while Judas was rebuked by Jesus. These women's acts were accepted. Their acts were properly memorialized and positively talked about today. We talk about them in a positive light today, don't we?
Amen.
But we don't talk about Judas in that same way, do we? Why? Because he left a negative memorial. And I believe these actions, they type the bride, the second Eve. This bride will receive the word of life and she will not doubt it, like Brother Branham said. Right? They saw life in Jesus and therefore they acted upon that. The word of life will put the bride into action. Amen? She recognizes the word as her head, The bride recognizes the word as her head. She knows what he wants done with the word. She knows that, right? She only does his will or she keeps still, right? And that's why these women, amen, when they went to anoint Jesus, amen, they just knew. Maybe it wasn't in their place to do that because they were maybe ill-famed and they had bad reputation amongst the people. I don't care. I'm going in with what I got.
Right.
And Jesus accepted that. Amen. And that's how God wants you to come, amen, with just as you are, amen?
Right.
She only does his will or she keeps still. The bride knows that it has to be God in her doing the works.
Right.
Amen. Amen? Praise God. Amen. So a few more positive memorials, the cross and what Christ did there for us, the woman and the two mites, right? Rahab's actions in the Old Testament. We talk about those things in positive light. Esther's actions, right? Ruth's actions. Amen. The faith of Abraham. We talk about those things. Those are living memorials that are still bringing life into us today. They have a lot of types, right? Praise God. Brother Branham says this, and I'm almost done. He says, in Time, Testament, Memorial, so we today as the church, you're to put on the robe of Christ, the whole armor of Christ, the whole shield and buckler and armor that we might stand blameless at that day. He is looking for time-tested memorials as he can say, there's my servant. I've tested him. I've tried him. I've put him through like Job. There's another example. We don't talk about Job in a negative light, right? His life still speaks to us, right? He still proves 100%, God be merciful to us, that we can take God at his word and be time-tested memorials. Amen. That we can take God at his word and be time-tested memorials. Not question it, not doubt it, but take it for who he said it, I believe it. Amen. And move on with it. Praise God. So what kind of memorial are you leaving behind is my question. Let me ask another question. What do you want people to say about you at your funeral? Think about that. What do you want God to say about you? All right? I'd want God to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Yeah, that question, what live your life according to how you want people to preach at your funeral. Right? What will your mom say about you if you passed away? What will your daughters say about you? What will your son say about you? What will your family, your friends, your coworkers, what would they say about you? Live your life that way. And you can be a time-tested memorial. Amen. The things you do for yourself are gone when you are gone. But the things you do for God and for others remain as your legacy. Amen. And those things, there will be living memorials because they will continue to impact and change lives as they are remembered. Not just something that's dead or sitting there and, you know, it causes confusion more than it does life. No, not the examples we just talked about. And I want my example to be that way. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you all. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Just leave this up.